Well, today we are going to hear from Kenny Lent. Kenny is a longtime construction superintendent for Story that came up through the trades. He's a local boy, a social boy, and somebody that if you've ever been at Story, you know Kenny. We're looking forward to hearing what he has to say about his career in the industry. So tell me, I don't even know this. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Boone, Iowa.
Well, when were you born?
61.
Okay.
In Boone, born in Boone.
Any siblings?
I have two brothers and two sisters. I've got an older brother, an older sister, and a younger brother and a younger sister.
So you are right middle. You are middle child. What about your folks? Like, where'd they work? What'd they do?
Well, my dad, he worked Quinn's in Boone, which was a foundry in Boone, back when it was a foundry. Now it's more of a fabrication shop.
Okay.
And then he worked for a seed selling company for a while, and he was also in construction. He worked for Sandler Built Homes when they were in Boone for a while.
Okay.
Did some of the buildings here in Ames around the campus. There were some fourplexes and stuff out on the west side of town that they built.
Okay. And how about your mom?
My mom, she was in healthcare service. She worked at the Boone County care facility out north of Boone when it was still around for years.
Okay.
And retired from there. It folded up, and then she went in. They moved all the patients into like family houses, housing type deals. So
okay.
She worked in those for a while. And then at some point in time, my dad started a custodian business.
Oh.
He went to work for, I think it was Hy-Vee at one time, just cleaning floors for him, and then they decided they wanted to contract it out. So he started a business and started contracting out, cleaning their floors and every night, and it grew from there. He was did the Ames Hy-Vee, one of the Ames Hy-Vees.
I was going to say, just in Boone?
He did one of the Ames Hy-Vees. He used to go do some churches and whatnot, did a few offices around.
Sure.
Janitorial type work.
And yeah.
He had three or four employees. He did that for the last 10 years before he finally retired.
Okay. All right. So back to you growing up. So where did you go to elementary school?
Went to elementary school at Lincoln School in West Boone.
Okay.
And then went to Boone High School.
Because my wife taught at Bryant Elementary.
Yeah, Bryant.
Long after you were out of elementary school. So you graduated from Boone High School. What about school did you do? Did you play the trombone? Were you in the play?
Well,
or were you
athlete? Really didn't. I was in track 1 year or 2 years maybe, long distance running. Didn't really do very good. I wasn't the top athlete.
Sure.
As I got older, about 14, 15, I started working. And I went to work for a farmer and worked for him. I was still working for him when I came to work for Story off and on. I used to do, we did commercial herbicide applications. I was a applicator. I could run application rigs and stuff. Back in that day, everybody had to be licensed, and most farmers couldn't afford the equipment, so they would hire companies. So this farmer that I worked with had a couple of Aggies and sprayers on trucks, and we'd go around spraying fields.
I'll be darned. So you started that when you were 14? 16.
I started working with him when I was 16, and I worked every summer and off and on during the winter.
Sure.
During school, and then when I finally graduated, I went to West Branch, was a farmhand for a person over there for about 4 months, and that didn't work out well. Didn't end very good either. We had to get away from each other before somebody got hurt, or him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I came back to Boone, and that's when I got into construction.
What was your introduction to construction then?
Well, my dad actually started working for, it was called Walter & Walter. They're out of Des Moines. And they did the Boone High School. I was went to work there as a laborer, worked on that. And I think it did the Golden Corrals, helped frame up the one in Boone.
Okay.
And then the company was from down south that built them. And they finished up the majority of the work. The only thing left was the punch list of the one in Ames, Ankeny, and Boone. And my dad and I finished those buildings up. And then I came to work for Story after that.
Well, how'd you learn about Story?
I don't know. I think Craig Elliott was working over at Ames, and I knew him from school. I think I just came over one day and applied. And back then, we applied right at the job sites. So I applied over at the Green Hills when we did the eight story.
Yep.
And that was 85.
What month?
It was like September of 85.
Who do you remember seeing anybody on that job, or you know, like was Spurlick there or Larry Dix there? Or who was
I don't
there?
Remember Spurlick, Larry Dix at all there.
Okay.
McVicker was there, Jim McVicker. He hasn't been around for a long time. And I knew his daughter. I went to school with his daughter. I knew her from school. Like I said, I knew Donnie and Howard Williams from Boone and yep. Craig Elliott from Boone.
So you applied there and you got, got hired, so you started on that job.
I started on that job.
So what did you do on that project? What was your role?
My role when I first started, they had the foundations. I think they were pouring like just the last little bit of foundation, getting ready to start the backfill and the first floor slab. And I was tarring the walls, making sure that the water wouldn't get into the building.
Got it.
Once we got our backfilled.
Well, that would be a hot, smoky job in the middle of the summer.
Yep. Well, and the worst thing is it took a while to do, but we were in the winter by the time we got it, me and a couple guys just going through buckets and buckets of trowel on tar, you know, completely different than they show up one day and spray it and it's done.
Yeah. Now we just... Yeah, you've seen a lot of technology advances in your time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you started on that job. Do you recall what your next job was?
Well, one good thing about that job is I was able to be there and tar the walls, and then as we started building it, I got on the Craig Elliott's crew, and we did the columns and some of the shear walls. So I was actually part of the forming crew to help form the walls on that. And then, of course, we had... our Majors Construction actually finished the concrete, but we placed it.
Okay.
And helped get it placed and stuff, so on the slab. So we were doing like a slab a week, and it would take two slabs to do a level, if I remember right. But you know, I don't remember. I left there. I know we did soil till sometime after that, but there were so many jobs between then and now that...
Yeah.
No, I worked at the water plant with Jerry Long.
Well, how about your past? So you started as a laborer and you learned, lots of different things. What skills did you develop along the way, and what did that look like?
The Green Hills, that job was a couple-year project. So about first year into that is when I got into the apprenticeship program. I spent 4 years at the... going back and forth to Ankeny to the classes once a week.
Was that through ABC?
Through ABC, yeah. Okay. I think there was like 16 of us that started the class and four that finished 4 years later.
Okay.
And I've worked with that project. I was able to work everywhere from, like I said, tarring the walls and backfilling all the way through helping swing doors and finish some of the finish work. So.
Yep. So you learned carpentry skills on the job and then through the apprenticeship training.
Yep.
I assume at some point then you made an advancement step to a crew leader or a foreman?
Yep. I don't know when.
Okay.
It just kind of naturally happened.
Yeah.
If you just work your way through it.
How about a superintendent? You remember when you became a superintendent?
When Larry... Pels left. Larry Pels was running a job in Grinnell, and he decided to move on, and they needed somebody to, we were busy then, needed somebody to fill in that position, so I went down and took over that job as superintendent. Then I did a few jobs before. That was before I actually didn't get the truck and the official.
Yep.
Until we did Nevada at the
Burke?
Burke Marketing, yeah. Yep. We did an addition there, and that's when I officially became a superintendent. I did a couple of little, finished up that job down there.
Yep.
A couple of small jobs.
So how long were you a superintendent here? I suppose 20 years?
Close to 20.
Yep.
I don't know what year that was. Like Jimmy and Rogers and I were talking today, we should have kept better notes of when we did stuff. We can't remember exactly what year stuff it all jumbled together.
That's why it's all of us. There's somebody here that remembers that. Jerry yeah. Long might be able oh, to yeah. tell you that.
Yeah, there's people that just, they just know.
Yep.
I worked with Greg Peitzmeier for years, and he could remember dates. He did everything. Hmm. Everything.
Yeah.
That's just the way he was.
Yeah. Let's back up and tell me about your family then. Mary, your kids, so when did that all happen?
When I came to work for Story, I'd been married 2 years at that time.
Okay.
And I had a one-year-old.
Okay.
And had a stepdaughter who was like 6 at the time, I think. We raised them in Boone for the most part.
Okay. So,
and about the time they were both out of the house is when we moved into the acreage. We were there for going on 18 years, I think, now.
Over in Ogden?
In Ogden, North Ogden, yeah.
Okay. So what are your kids up to now?
My son is working for Urbandale Water.
Okay.
And my daughter, previously, I think she's unemployed, but she was a home health care nurse. Yeah, she works with people that need extra help in their houses and stuff.
Got it.
And I've got 5 grandsons. One of them is like 30 plus.
Oh, really?
And the youngest one is, yeah. And he's a manager, I think, for Jimmy John's.
Okay.
And my youngest is 5.
Okay. Are you the fun grandpa?
I try to be.
Okay.
When I can. I can be around them.
Yeah, I think you'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. We get everybody so busy now, we just don't get together as much as we like. Yeah.
So you're a very social person. I know that. I hear from people all the time. Yeah, Kenny calls me. So you have built and maintained a lot of relationships, not just, I'm sure, inside of the company, but outside of the company. So who are people that have made a big impact on you in this, or who do you stay close to?
Well, we've got good friends, Chris and Patty Hastead.
Okay.
Known them, I think I've known him my whole life. We grew up, went to Lincoln High School, grade school together.
Okay.
And I think, I remember whether they got married before Mary and I. But yeah, Mary, that was Mary's best friend.
Okay. How about like people in the industry? Like who's really made a big impact on you?
Ward Melanie with Carroll Distributing over in Ottumwa.
Okay.
You could call him just about any time, day or night.
Yeah.
He could help you figure out a problem. When we were working at the meatpacking plant over there, there was always this time when you needed something on the weekend or something, you could get a hold of him or Steve Schmieler to get something.
Yep. So there was a period of time, I can't remember what it was, probably the mid-2000s, where you about lived in Ottumwa for 3 years, didn't you?
I was there for 5 years straight.
Yep.
And pretty much lived there. I lived... I had a couple different campers. I lived in the hotel for a while, and then there was a cabin by a pond south of there I lived in for one winter.
But we were just routinely at the JBS plant down there.
Yeah.
And you would finish something, and they would say, hey, can you put a price on this? And you, for that period of time, you were kind of the butcher, baker, and the candlestick maker down there.
Yep.
You would call Sperlick and say, hey, here's what it is. He could help price it up, and then you just kept going.
Yep. Well, there was a time where there wasn't a lot going on in construction, so we were having to Pat was a, just keep selling down there. Keep working. You got to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be darned.
We stayed pretty busy. Toward the end, it was getting, I needed to get out of there. And we tried to find somebody to replace me down there and decided we just needed to stop doing work down there.
Yeah, because some of it clearly was construction, but a lot of it was kind of more maintenance
and stuff. We were getting into
We were
getting away from the construction and more maintaining the building type stuff.
Yep.
And they have other companies that do a better job.
They're just more wired for nights and weekends and things like that. You needed to be in Ogden on nights and weekends the weekends.
Anyway. At least the weekends.
Yeah. So in your time, you have seen a lot of technological advances in our industry. So you talked about troweling on waterproofing on the outside of a wall where right now a spray rig would roll in and they'd make it a day's worth of work out of what used to be a week's worth of work or more. What are some of the things that you think have been just really a big deal in your time in the industry?
I think the upgrade of the equipment, you know, the different lifts. I mean, we had boom lifts and lifts back in the day and forklifts and the newer forklifts and the newer equipment has made a big difference. Obviously, the newer cranes, if everything's working good on them electronically, they work better. But I don't think you'll ever kill one of the old Americans. They'll just keep plugging along. They don't take much to keep them. They just need air and everything mechanical. So
You know, I should know this, can you operate? I don't know this. Are you a crane operator?
Oh, no. Okay. I won't get in one. Well, I shouldn't get in one. I have had to in a time or two. Like Rick Tim's been in them and Johnny and stuff. Yeah. I've been in them just to move them, not to operate them around anybody.
Yeah.
But that's an extent of my, and even with that, I have to call somebody. Yeah. I got to call a friend and say, all right, I got it started. I can't get it to move. I can get it to do this, and I don't want it to do that.
Yeah. I thought that was the case, but you've been around long enough.
So like all of our older cranes, there are labels that told whatever lever it does. Well, if you've never ran one, you don't know what those labels even mean for sure.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're obscure type labels as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. All right.
Abbreviation of what they actually do.
The label of this podcast is Exit Interview. So that means that somebody is either retired or retiring. And you are now retired.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You have been retiring for a while. So what does retired look like?
Well, trying to plan what to do every day and working on organizing all the little projects that other people have.
Yeah, like your kids?
My kids.
Yeah.
My kid's not as bad. I help him when he needs it, but he doesn't ask. My nieces and nephews and brother are more ask for more help than
got
anybody.
It.
Right now I'm in the middle of a remodel at my niece's.
Okay.
But I believe once Christopher gets moved into the house in DeSoto that we'll start some projects there.
Okay.
It's an older house and it's going to need some stuff.
Well, I've seen on Facebook that you've been trying to deplete some of your inventory.
Yep.
So
you're not going very good.
You probably got a shed full of things and you're like, oh, why do I have this? Yep. I don't need this anymore. Yep. I thought it was a good idea, but I don't need it anymore.
Yep. That's what I've been doing. I'm selling because I had bought a table saw 40 years ago and it's just store stuff on it. And I have two. I don't need two.
Okay.
I can pretty much do everything with the smaller one.
Yep.
So I get rid of the bigger one. So I got rid of that. I've got a radial arm saw that I purchased from Kevin Thompson.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
And he's been gone for a while.
Yeah.
After he finished his house, and I've got it sold. The guy just needs to show up and pick it up. He's paid for it. So now I'm storing somebody else's stuff.
But are you charging rent?
I should.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to downsize enough and with the plan to sell the 6 acres and house and sheds and buy something just big enough for one person.
Sure.
And maybe room for a shed for the camper, but that's not absolutely necessary. Maybe a place just to be able to store some stuff.
Yep.
Downsize some.
So you you have a camper. Mm-hmm. So where'd you buy your camper?
This is a good one. So I bought my camper from Larry Sperling.
Oh, okay.
He finally made it to Texas with it last year. And on his way back from Texas, he decided to buy a motorhome.
Okay.
So he's got a big motorhome. And at that point, then he needed to get rid of his camper. And it started out with the camper and the truck. And at some point in time, he decided he was going to keep the truck and just sell the camper.
Okay.
And I'm like, no. They're a paired unit. I can't buy the camper without the truck. So I convinced him to sell me the truck, which now Donna wishes he would not have done that. But
okay.
She's going to have to live with that. So.
She will. So when Larry decided to sell that and buy the motorhome, did he call you and say, hey, Kenny, I'll make you a deal? Or did he just do that and you learned about it later? Who did he offer to sell it to you, or you offer to buy it?
He talked with Johnny, and Johnny and I talk. And then, so he offered to sell it to me. And he didn't know what to, he wouldn't give me a number. And so I scrunched some numbers, and they're all wrote on the back of my garage door at my shop, because I was working in my shop that night.
Sure.
I was on the phone with Johnny, and we were running numbers and doing stuff. So I made him an offer that he would not accept. Just had to start somewhere. So.
Okay.
And then we kind of met in the middle. But
okay.
I think we both walked away thinking I paid too much and he didn't get enough. So that's the perfect negotiation.
Yeah. So what wisdom did Johnny add to that conversation for you?
He helped figure out, between Johnny and my son, figure out what stuff was actually worth.
Yeah.
Because what the camper is actually worth and the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that Donna and Larry put into everything they did to it for 10 years.
Yep.
It's hard for him to sell it for what it actually worth.
Yeah.
Not for what he actually put into it.
I was expecting more comic relief and commentary from Johnny, which I'm sure was there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how's it working? Have you used it much?
Oh yeah. Yep. I just came back from Brushy Creek yesterday.
Okay.
I was up there over the weekend. And last week I was at Don Williams for 3 or 4 days. It's working good. I can get my bike into it. I can get pull of my boat behind it. So it's all set up to travel around and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, darn.
Yep.
Okay. Well, what this is an opportunity to drop some knowledge on some people, share some wisdom with some people about what it's like to work in the construction industry. If you're talking to your grandkids and they express some interest, what do you tell them about it?
Well, it was a good industry for me, as long as you're willing to learn, because it's ever-changing. I mean, there's new technology, new stuff out there every day. So don't think you're just going to go in and drive nails and do this and do that. It's changed so much that.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Boy, you've made a lot of friends in this industry, mm-hmm. and you've kept a lot of friends in this industry, for sure. And there's that's one thing I'll always remember about you, because there are a few people like you in this industry, and then there's a number that, you know, want to go to work and do their deal and go home and not be as social. You've been pretty social.
I try to, get to know people and whatnot.
Yeah.
Every job, you start out with a whole new team, all new people.
Yeah.
You got to learn how everybody is and what they're doing.
So you worked on some magnificent projects. Any of them come to mind as being super unique or a favorite of sorts?
Soil tilth was a good one, because that's that sticks out because I worked it all the way from pouring the foundations, pouring the slabs, doing the grade beams for the brick ledge of well two, to hanging the doors and finishing the installing cabinets and stuff at the end. So that was one of them I worked all the way from beginning to end. And somewhere, must have been shortly after that, I got working with Kenny Thompson. I spent quite a few years, just him and I driving around. We did work at Norm's house. We did work at Banks.
Sure.
And did little remodels all over, all over town. The bank was unique because I accidentally set the alarm off one day. And,
which bank?
Remember the name of it. It's did up on Main Street.
Did they catch you in the vault or outside of the vault?
When outside. I was outside.
Off. Okay.
I set the alarm off and then was hauling two bags of garbage out to the dumpster and I was surrounded. Silent alarm. Yeah. And we knew because it was we were in an office area and there was a button there and we knew that don't want to mess with that or touch it, but somehow it shorted itself and set the alarm off.
When is the last time you have been in the USDA soil tilth building on the Iowa State campus?
It was when I finished it. I didn't ever go back. I don't think.
Why don't you go back today?
What's going on today?
I don't know. Just go walk through.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been in there since I finished. We finished it up. Don't know what year we built it either.
I could tell you it was because I was in school at Iowa State when it was happening and we got a tour of it. So it had to be, I'm guessing, 88, 89, yeah, 90,
makes sense.
something like that. Yeah, because I think Dean Porath maybe took some students around. Dean and Donnie probably divided and conquered and took us around.
I suppose.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to add? Anything you'd want people to know about the life and contribution of Kenny Lent?
It's been a ride.
Yeah, it has. And thankfully, it's not over.
It's not over.
We'll get to live vicariously through your continued connection to the company.
There you go. Yep.
There you have it. Straight from Kenny's mouth. For as talkative as he is in an exit interview, he's a man of fewer words than I would have expected. None of you, however, had the benefit of seeing him while it happened. There's a big impact that many people have made on Kenny, and likewise, he's made a big impact on many. We wish him well as he takes Larry and Donna's camper and trailer around the country. Thanks, Kenny.